There was a report recently that SMS use had declined in India. Do you see that as reflecting the situation here? And what has happened to the overall SMS revenues, usage, etc.?
SMS per customer is still, especially in the prepaid base, we see increased adoption of SMS. I think the Indian phenomenon is because the voice tariffs have come down so low that it's no longer attractive to send SMS. So I think in most South Asian markets, what you'll find is that SMS to voice would be a function of the tariffs. Yeah, that's my feeling. So Sri Lanka is still, I think, on the up on SMS, but as voice tariffs crash, we might see the similar effects. Yes, percentage of total revenues, yes. But
per customer SMS usage is dropping, but if you see the revenue growth, SMS has shown growth in terms of as the revenue from previous quarter to this quarter. So SMS is still growing, and we see a lot of potential in SMS.
And what is the prospect for tariff increases? With inflation at 18%, you're fighting a losing battle. Is the industry having any plans to have a general tariff increase?
No, there no such plans. I know what you're alluding to. I mean, if inflation goes the way it is at the moment, and you can see the margins are being really pressured at the moment, something needs to happen. Either the costs need to be sort of amortized over many businesses or revenue lines, which is what we are trying to do. That is something within our control, to amortize the costs over larger revenue streams. But no, the industry is not thinking of a tariff increase. Whether that is going to be viable at any point in time is also a question.
Surely the other business lines can never be as big as your voice business. I don't know what your plans are of how they can scale, but you know, the allure of pure mobile communication is second to none.
Yeah.
So in a very high inflation, I mean, for a long time, India had lower revenues per minute, but the fact that the Indian rupee has appreciated by 22% against the Sri Lankan rupee, I don't know whether we are one of the cheapest in the world now.
We are. I think just now we are going to be the cheapest in South Asia, so that means in the world as well.
Okay. So, is it true that the Indian guys, have they got into the equipment manufacturing game to further reduce your costs? I mean, what are some of the strategies you could possibly pursue?
Asset utilization, I would say, there's a lot of flak. I mean, if you really look at the at a per minute level, airtime is not optimally utilized by anybody. So with the newer technologies coming in, like the IMS and other ways of, you know, spreading your capacity, and especially under 3G. Where your cost base comes down because of the soft capacity. So overall asset utilization goes up with 3G. That is an opportunity, but not in the short term. I mean, not at the rate that interest rates are moving or inflation is moving. But I would say in the 1 to 2 year window, technology is moving in the direction of much higher resource utilization efficiency. And I think 3G will make a big difference.
Okay, what about, I mean, you are putting a significant investment in your fiber network. So maybe you say that there will be a quality improvement. So again, that's another benefit you're passing on, that you're not going to reprice for that quality. No? What kind of cost efficiencies can you achieve by your backbone?
There are several drivers for backbone. One is that there's a sort of short sarong situation, that the spectrum is running out for backhaul. Mm-hmm. So end of the day, especially in the cities, there won't be microwave or radio backhaul between switchers and between interconnects. So even to complete your calls, Otherwise, there'll be interconnect congestions and calls will fail and there'll be kickback on the exchanges. It's a essential.
Basically, it's a technical limitation.
Yes, so you have to have it. That is, of course, one side of the coin. The other is that with the fiber network, we are really aiming at the wholesale market, hiring this capacity to other operators. Because we feel that the retail layer would get competed away over time, competed or margin depressed over time. But the large operators would have the advantage that they can leverage their infrastructure base on a wholesale basis. And that might be the escape clause from the conundrum that we are seeing today, that you go into wholesale and then take a reasonable share of the retail incomes of your competitors. So we are certainly going down that way route in a, from a strategic sense, but how the competition will see it, whether they come on board, we have opened our doors for fiber, we have opened our doors for transmission and subsequently even for towers. We will be doing that on a commercial basis. It's up to, I guess, the regulator and the competition to see that it makes sense in the longer term to come on board rather than try to build their own now.
My last question is, what do you think Bharti is going to do? Do you think they're going to come at a tariff lower than you?
I mean, Sri Lankan, I would guess that by the end of this year, Sri Lanka's tariffs would be, like you said, normalized to a level which is lower than in South Asia, at least in on average terms. What would Airtel do? Fifth player in this market, which would be at around 38% penetration, first quarter next year, plus strong brands already present, distribution channels, etc., etc. They would be a fifth player. They would be a fifth player. I would worry about number 2, 3, and 4 before I worry about number 5.
So if you're number 5, your only differentiable factor is price, right?
Yes, and yeah, and the fact that you will have less coverage and probably less of a reach in terms of distribution and marketing. So those are all characteristics of number 5.
So if I can put you on the spot, why do you think they came here?
I think all the reports, the lovely reports you wrote about Dialogue, which I must thank you for. So they obviously saw this huge gap in market share, huge gap in margins. But what they did, I can't speak for them, but what a characteristic of the Sri Lankan market is that here there's no dearth of competition. All the competitors are very good. I mean, they're good at what they do. They're fierce. We can't act independent of competition, though we have 60% market share. If we don't react in time, within a few months, we could lose what we have. But because the market leader in this case is dynamic, is aggressive, is on the ball, you find a situation where everybody is locked into their market position. Why would somebody lose? Why would somebody gain? There's no reason. So in that locked position, there's, in effect, in reality, there's no room to really make a big difference. But on paper, certainly you would see that there's a huge arbitrage to get.
Just a question on your, the CDMA. Business. I understand that you've acquired just over 7,000 new subscribers over the past 2.5 to 3/4 months. Is this in line with your expectations in terms of market share during those 3 months? How are you positioned? Or is it a case that the low-hanging fruit has already been plucked in this business? Do you see growth rates slowing down? If you could just expand a bit then.
It's not in line with the expectation, but there's plenty of room for more expansion. So we expect with a few initiatives over the next few months in the coming year to significantly improve, especially opening up the Colombo market, which we hope to do soon, would be a great game change. The message about we have easily the lowest tariffs in the market, that message hasn't been driven out effectively yet. So there's a few points to work on going forward.
Then on the Dialog TV business, if you could elaborate a bit, you know, 38,000 subscribers for the past, let's say, 8 months. You know, can you elaborate a bit on the strategies to really get this up to a kind of like break-even level? Now, for example, in the UK, satellite TV really caught on because they got exclusive sports programs. Cricket, football, they got it exclusively, and suddenly everybody wanted satellite TV. You know, if you could just elaborate on your strategies as to how you intend to, you know, 38,000 subscribers, 500 million loss for the period. You know, doing the math there is going to take a long time to go to break-even levels. So if you can elaborate a bit on that and also your plans for this terrestrial digital TV.
On the satellite TV, the biggest challenge we have is to tell consumers that they need to pay to watch TV. For, I think, a good 20 years, Sri Lankans have enjoyed terrestrial TV free of charge. So the entry barrier, which was initially 17,900, has now been brought down to 12,500. We strategically looked at bringing the entry barrier down. Then we also introduced a $1 package or 100 rupee package for the consumer to come on board with 7 international channels and 6 terrestrial channels. That again brought in what we call the middle of the pyramid consumers in. Yes, it still hasn't got the excitement or the buzz that we want. It still hasn't got ample eyeballs that we need so that people come back to the officers and talk about CSI and AXN rather than some other terrestrial channel that they've been watching at home. We intend to get there. We have some widespread plans to go into the semi-rural towns, to have strategically located dishes and TVs in the locations, to equip maybe community centers so that we start getting the eyeballs in there. We've also connected most of Sri Lankan hospitals, private hospitals, a few government hospitals, waiting lounges, most of the hotels, so that that gives you the eyeball strategy that we want. It's the growth in the category that will eventually win this whole warfare.
In terms of market share there, how would you rate against the other existing providers?
It all depends how we want to classify the market itself. If you look at the direct-to-home, the other two operators are Multivision and LBN. Both of them together would have a combined force number of customers between 10 to 12,000 active subscribers, paying subscribers. We have, as at yesterday, 42,000 paying subscribers. So that gives an indication of where we are in this whole acquisition of customers.
I think the sachet strategy of being able to buy what we call set plans for 50 rupees, 100 rupees, 200 rupees sets of channels, that, I mean, these things take a little time to sink into the market, but I feel there's a hockey stick curve waiting to happen, and when we bring in prepaid as well, so that would be in a couple of months time.
Dialog's ROE has obviously suffered over the past year, coming down from average of over 48% last year to maybe the low 30s at the moment. Now, is there a possibility of kind of like reducing the assets on the books, specifically the towers? In India, there has been some initiatives to spin off the tower business, list it separately, and thereby increase your ROEs. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, that's with the initiative we have taken to, at least at SBU level, have a infrastructure arm and then go aggressively into the wholesale market and the sharing market. That would give us a sense for whether a standalone entity would be an answer to this. But I think you would agree that any I would say balance sheet maneuvering should be done in a period of financial certainty. At this point where we have seen interest rates going, devaluation, and also this asset base having different useful life by asset category. So towers have one, you know, maybe 15, 20 years, fiber optics, maybe 12 years. So that's a decision we would like to take under conditions where the fiscal macro environment is a little more stable than it is now.
Can you just talk a bit about your easy pay system? Just kind of give us a sense of how take up has been, what sort of transactions levels you're seeing, and specifically when the system will facilitate inward remittances from expatriate workers.
At the moment, the ECPay network has been promoted mostly in the Western Province. It's only this month that we will go into the other regions. However, there are customer points that will allow you to take in new access accounts from even other parts of the country. If you look at the banks, we have already added, other than NDB, another issuing bank, which is Ceylon Bank. In the short span of the 2 months that we have been in operation, we have got close to 2,000 subscribers. In terms of merchants, we have topped the 1,000 mark, and these are all restricted to the Western Province. In terms of transactions, initially, I mean, you see one or two transactions, but now we have got the Ceylon Electricity Board, we have got, golf club, etc., some of the other utility arenas that are coming, and we are starting to see 10, 15 transactions happening on a daily basis. In terms of volume, we're looking at 10, 20,000 rupees. This is still at a very nascent stage. If you go around the streets of Colombo, you'll not really see too much easy pay shop outlets showing their branding, etc. So it'll take a bit of time before you start seeing, if you go to a go-getter, you start seeing the easy pay accepted here sign, like the Visa and the Masters that we have used to today. So it'll probably take about a month or two before these things actually start kicking off. But where there is a customer who has started using at a particular merchant, we have seen that they maintain that trend and they keep paying. So it's once the subscribers and the merchants add on, then it'll start growing further.
Just Nushad, a few more questions on the TV business. What is your contribution rate like? Because you have to pay for content, right?
I think on the content side is an area where the critical mass, that's where we wouldn't want to project too directly on straight line basis from where we are today. The nature of content providers is such that you need a critical mass to talk to them. Now they come from the background of India, and then here's a Sri Lankan operator trying to negotiate rate. But we feel that once you have 50 plus thousand, then we would go for renegotiation of rates and get the contribution rate improved.
But at the moment, what?
At the moment, total costs are around 60% of outputs.
Is direct costs, is it?
Yeah.
So what do you think that...
But that would be, as I said, I don't want to extrapolate that. Mm-hmm. But the situation could be completely different once you have subscribers and once you have sufficient eyeballs on them.
But Hans, going forward now, you have a channel mix now. You think that channel mix will change? The marginal consumer you're getting when you're going down the pyramid, I mean, his choice is going to start changing, right? Or do you think it will be the same?
No, his thing is to go down the pyramid, you need local content. And that is something which we are concentrating on now. And also, as adding more channels to the bouquet, which we will be shortly, but very strategically selected channels, local and specific productions for the local market. Once you adopt a sachet model, then it would make sense because it would push ARPUs up the more choice there is for the customer to select from.
So have you all considered getting into the content development business?
Yes.
That's a possibility.
Not ourselves, I mean, none of us.
Yeah, sure. But Dialogue itself investing in it.
Helping local providers to develop specific, segment-based content. And that would, I think, add to the bouquet. Then there's plenty of choice, language diversity, cultural diversity, and also exclusive content like you mentioned, sports, etc. And the only way to make sense of that is to have a sachet model, because you'll pick and choose, and your average ARPU will gradually keep going up. Experiment over the last few months, why we are very encouraged by the ARPU dynamics is that even though we have a $1 packet or 100 rupee packet, the set plans drives ARPU well into the 600-700 range. I think Rashad was conservative saying it's 300. But I feel that they won't stop at 300. It will be 100 plus maybe sports at 150-200 rupees, some local channels at 300, maybe you're looking at 600 plus ARPUs.
And on the connection fees given at cost, is there a profit on that? Or?
No profit.
No.
Potential for advertising revenues, of course, controlled by the content providers. It's not not a free hand, but there would, which we haven't brought in yet.
Do you see any impact on usage levels due to the taxation of mobile subscribers specifically, and would that impact penetration levels going forward? That's one question. And second question is, in the third quarter, was there any impact on revenues due to Northeast disruption?
No, answer your second question first. Northeast, third quarter, I think the first month was disrupted, right?
From August, 100%.
Yeah, from August, 100%, August 15th or something. So, half and half. The first question was?
The taxation mobile subscribers, usage patterns.
It's a bit early to say, because it's about 11% change in total tax if you take the VAT also. It's a bit early to say, but I would imagine that there would be a slight reduction. Maybe Supun can, in your earlier.
Yeah, we have seen about 3 to 4% drop in usage level, but not very significant. And then usage levels have started picking up. Initially, first 2 weeks of introduction, we thought drops, but now it has picked up again. We don't see it affecting the growth of penetration going forward because the price levels are coming down. That will compensate the taxes and then the total amount that you can pay. So unless the price level comes down, then it can have impact. But since the trend is downward, now price level, we see the penetration getting affected by the tax.
Sort of looks like the government will take the inflation impact. Inflation increase through taxation rather than mobile, so companies increasing rates.
The question is on CDMA. Well, one is this, I believe you have CDMA 450, not CDMA 800, right? And first question is that more sort of advantages for data applications than the other CDMA frequencies or the other bands? And the second part of the question is, SLT seems to be pulling back from data services on their CDMA. They've basically now they're offering a lower price, but no internet connectivity. Does that say something about that market? Sort of dial-up market is not as robust as was originally thought.
Yeah, I think CDMA in particular for dial-up, doesn't fare too well. I don't see any success. Even
is there any advantage in 450 over the other?
No.
It's the same.
Yeah. The advantage in 450 is coverage.
You need less coverage.
Yes.
Less station.
Yeah. So therefore, the viability of providing whatever you provide on 450 in underserved areas would be higher on 450 than on 800 or 1900.
So is there almost like a substitution between CDMA and your mobile connectivity, HSDPA.
HSDPA is faster now.
Right.
And right at the other end of the line.
Okay.
CDMA completes some dialogue segment.
So it's primarily a voice. But will all the sets that you give, are they capable of doing, being connected to a computer or?
Different sets.
It can't be.
Standard WT1, standard voices WT plus 48.
I see.
I think in the CDMA operation, we haven't gone mass media without the Colombo market being online. And that's probably why some of the key messages are not yet out in the market, like the tariff and. We don't have a setup fee, for example, for our calls. We are the only CDMA operator without a setup fee. So this would, I think, break in terms of mass media once Colombo is online. Any other questions? We've recently launched a lifestyle magazine, which is another converged communication instrument, which the first copy is out here so for your reading pleasure. You can pick up your copy. You have the copy. You can pick up your copy later, but it's far more attractive than any of us. It's called 077 and appeals to a wide segment of readers. Our aim is to get this into the hands of eventually a large percentage of our subscriber base through mass distribution. And that way gain advertising as well as product communication efficiencies. And who knows, eventually it might be a revenue stream as well.
So your customer's technology lifestyle magazine, that's what you call it. Not limited just to mobile phones, but from iPods to all these phones.
Okay. So thank you very much.